such a blessing to see a baby being dedicated, isn't it? Yes. Such a beautiful baby as well. Let's pray. Glorious Almighty God, we do thank you. There is so much that we can just take awe in. We take awe in the new life. We take awe in the spiritual blessings that that new child will have. But we also take awe in what God has done. The glorious grace that he's shown to each and every one of us. The love that he pours out to us each and every day, when every day dawns and every day ends. The love of Christ that is seen through family, and the love of God which is seen through Jesus. So Lord, as we come before you now, I pray you anoint your speaker, that these words are your words, not mine, that they will hit the hearts that need to hit. And Lord, may people feel the love of God through these words, in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen. Amen. So don't worry, the screen hasn't gone blank. I've intended for it to be blank this time. But let me give you a quote to start with. Does anyone know where this one comes? Glory is fleeting, but obscurity is forever. No. Let me give you a clue. This person was a military leader. Ah, yes. I was going to give you another clue and put my hand here and say, Vive la France! Vive la France! But you guys got it, yeah. Pastor David, Napoleon Bonaparte. Amen. I haven't got a prize, but well done. Have you heard the term glory seeker? Someone so hungry for fame and public adoration that they depart from their values just to get ahead. In history, we've seen many people go or even start wars for their moment of glory to make their mark in history. In our current generation, everyone wants their moment of fame or glory at any cost. We all have some ideas about what glory is, but what does true glory look like? So today, the message is called The Glory of God. And the key verse is to look at is Romans 11, verse 36. For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Amen. Did you notice at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he says, glory to him forever. Amen. So what is glory? Let's look at some definitions. I'm a teacher by heart, so I've got to give you the definition before I start preaching. So let's look at it. Merriam-Webster looks at, this is what the world thinks glory is. Worshipful praise, honor and thanksgiving. Something that secures praise or renown. A state of great gratification or exaltation or great beauty and splendor. But then the Bible, when you look at it, Strong's Bible Dictionary defines the word glory as these. First in the Old Testament as weightiness, substantial, heavy, glory, honor, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificence, fame, dignity, riches, excellency, notable, and renowned. They're all from one word, glory. And then in the New Testament, it opens up a bit more. Opinion, reputation, good standing, esteem, given to a person, honor again, splendor, radiance, the majesty of Jesus. Glory appears 338 times in the Bible, the ESV Bible, 195 times in the Old Testament, and 143 in the New Testament. But its use varies across translations. In the Old Testament, heaviness represents honor and substance, while lightness represents vanity, instability, and emptiness. Back in the day, to say about someone, that's heavy, man, meant that they were quite deep. I'm showing my age now, I remember that statement. So for us, who are a bit heavier than others, we are in an honorable position by Old Testament standards. And that's what I'm telling the wife tonight. God's glory means several things in scriptures. His goodness, seen in Exodus 33, verse 19. His manifest presence in 2 Chronicles 5, 14. The arrival of his power to change the situation, John 2, 11. And then his people being all he intended us to be, Romans 3, 23, and 2 Corinthians 3, 18. God's glory represents the unmatched honor the universe should give to him. His creation glorifies him, was made by him, and reflects his glory. Glory in the Bible also represents the great light that surrounds God's presence when he manifests himself to his creation. His glory belongs to him alone, and it's an outward expression of his excellence, character, and majesty. We can only stand in awe and worship at his incomprehensible, unfathomable glory. It can bring great delight, deep awe, and reverence. So to try and give you a real-life scenario, does anyone remember the Ready Brick commercial? I know the generation gap drops when I make that statement. Let me give you a more up-to-date one. Most people know about Star Wars, don't they? Most people? Yeah. Right. You know when the Jedi Knights appear when they're dead and they come back? You know they glow. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the sort of picture that I'm trying to give you all. So what does God's glory look like to us? And it doesn't look like a Jedi Knight, just to let you know about that. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Creation points to the glory of its creator. Isn't it wonderful when you look up into the sky? I know church is not very good at the minute, but when it's blue and those clouds are just floating there's nothing like, is there? We're beholding his creation. How great and mighty he is for creating all this. Worldly glory focuses on political power, fame, and wealth. Godly glory focuses not on what the world can give you, but solely on God himself, on what he has done and graciously and faithfully provides to us every day. Exodus 24, verse 16 and 17. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. God's Shekinah glory was seen in the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, which led the Israelites in the wilderness. However, Moses was unable to enter the tabernacle at the end of Exodus when God's glory filled it. Moses, through the ritual cleansing God commanded in Leviticus, is then able to come before God a month later, seen in Numbers 1:1. His face glowed after being in the presence of God's glory, so he would wear a veil until the radiance subsided, seen in Exodus 34, chapter 20, verses 29 to 35. This was because God's holiness reflects his glory. The prophet Ezekiel had a very powerful vision of God's glory. He was probably about 30 and due to begin serving as a priest. And his vision reveals God's glory is universal, not restricted to one place or a building. God's glory can withdraw from a place, seen in Ezekiel chapter 10, when his glory withdrew from the Israelite temple due to their disobedience and idolatry. Without his glory present, they would soon fall into exile. The Israelites mistakenly thought God's glory was fixed there with them. But God chooses where and how he reveals his glory. And he removes it from places that have been corrupted and strayed from his ways. We see when the returning exiles rebuilt the temple, God's presence did not appear as it had when Solomon commissioned the first temple. The glory of the Lord returned at Jesus' birth to begin the fulfillment of God's promise that a descendant of David would bring salvation. John 1, verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus reveals the glory of God to us. For the most part, Jesus hid his glory while he walked among us on this earth. We saw glimpses of his glory through his miraculous acts of healing and deliverances, but also through his life-changing teaching and standards of living for God. Luke 9, verse 28 to 31. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see, and they were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus was transfigured at Mount Tabor, not far from Jerusalem. And this is way before he comes into Jerusalem. Moses, the deliverer, represents the law, and Elijah, the prophets. And Jesus was the ultimate successor, the saviour and the fulfilment of the law and the prophets. His glory was seen by his closest disciples only, Peter, James and John. But many more will see his glory at his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. One day the whole universe will see his glory. Moses had an intimate relationship with God, yet was unable to behold his full glory. Through Jesus, all who believe in him as Lord and Saviour are invited to enter into God's presence. His sacrifice atoning for all sins allows us to look upon, dwell and worship him in a very deep and intimate way. John 17, verses 1 to 5. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. Jesus was glorified before the beginning of time, as he is the Son of God. He was glorified at the cross for his obedient faithfulness and sacrifice. He received glory at his resurrection and triumphant return into heaven. And he will be glorified again at his return for his people. That's us, church. We should be rejoicing. When he's coming back for us. Amen. He's not coming back on holiday. He's coming back for good, for us, to dwell in his glory. Amen. He is the radiance of God's glory. Hebrews 1 verse 3. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majesty God in heaven. Praise God, I thought my brain was on fire. Amen. Jesus glorified his Father by completing obediently and faithfully all he had given him to do. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, testifying about his kingdom and saving works for us throughout history. And when we follow the Holy Spirit, we honour his work in us and glorify the Son and the Father. How does the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? He reveals the truth of the Bible through God's word. He empowers gospel preaching, which you're hearing today, I hope. It brings regeneration and it sanctifies the believer, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we recognise God as Almighty Creator of everything, this should lead us to be humble and reverent towards him. He is the one who spoke his creation into being. He sustains it and provides new life to those who trust in him. We are all accountable to him in what we do with his creation. When I say accountable, I've got to also confirm to you guys that it's not just the world around us. It's great to look after the world around us. But you know the greatest creation he wants you to look after?
Yourself.
Amen. And anything that comes out of you like a baby. Men, don't worry about that. You contribute to that. But you're looking after everything that God gives into your hand. Let's look at some aspects or stages of God's glory in us. Natural birth. We are created to glorify God, but may not acknowledge God in this. So that's, we're born, but we don't understand who God is. But then when we understand, we have spiritual birth. And we are empowered and desire to glorify God. I challenge any Christian to say to me that he or she does not want to glorify God. That's an issue for me. Because you are born to glorify God. And then resurrection. On Jesus' return, we will live in the full glory of God, sharing in his victory. Remember I said about Moses? Couldn't come into the presence of God in his full glory. We will be able to when Jesus returns. But then look at Jesus and God. This is a parallel. How their glory is seen through creation. The Holy Trinity were all involved with this. Look at Genesis 1. They're all involved. And then Jesus' works, both before his incarnation, his resurrection, and after his ascension to heaven. Jesus was around. What do you think the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud was? It's Jesus. You may not see him physically, but it's Jesus. And his return, when all his creation acknowledges his glory and will bow down to his authority, and God makes all things new. And the church says,
Amen.
Amen. Turn to the person next to you these words and say these words. Turn to the person next to you. Say these words. I give glory to God for creating you and I and everything around us. Amen. Amen. Right. Now, I'm not just saying that to give me a rest here. What I'm saying is, you are God's glory. You want to see God's glory, you see one another. That's all what it's all about. We should strive to glorify God in all we do through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the example of Jesus. So how can we glorify God? To answer this, let's look at the difference between God's glory and glorifying God. God's glory is a visible, physical manifestation of his presence, showing his attributes and his character. While glorifying God is an action, following and praising him for the glory that he has and has shown us. Leviticus 9, verse 6. And Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Obedience to God and living right towards him is essential for us to see and experience his glory. For God's glory to be seen and encountered, we must live God's way, not our own. For his way is always best for us. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Many times we will ask God to glorify his name with our name. Let me give you an example. We will share or take the credit for what God has done. What I'm doing right now with you, this is all God's work.
Absolutely.
This is all God's work. None of it is me. The bits that go off point is me. But the biblical stuff, the stuff that's coming from God, that's all him. This message is his and his alone. What we must ensure is not to want to look good at the expense of God's reputation. When we ask God for something, check your motives and heart on who truly is going to get the glory. Yeah? Quote from John Calvin. The glory of God shines indeed in all creatures on high and below, but never more brightly than in the cross. That is real truth, church. Jesus' suffering was his path to glory. God may ask you to walk a difficult path for his glory, but take hope or encouragement, as Paul did, in the fact that their sufferings were for a greater good for others. Jesus was very clear with Paul when he called him. You're going to have troubles. You're going to go through some trials. But Paul was being given exactly what he wanted to do. Paul had a heart to tell people about God. While he was a Pharisee, that's why he was so protective, because he thought that Christianity was attacking God. And then God just turned it all around and said, look, you're wrong. I am the resurrection. I am the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. And it transformed him. But he had a hard life. You read Acts. You read his letters. This man had a hard life. When you start moaning on a Monday when you've got to go to work, read one of Paul's letters. Read Acts. Yeah? That'll ground you. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Sometimes suffering and hardship allow us to gain a greater insight into God's glory. Sorry, I'm going to have to say it again. Sometimes suffering and hardship allows us to gain a greater insight into God's glory.
Amen.
In life, sometimes for something new to begin, something old has to die. Be it life, attitudes, beliefs, and roles. I put life at first because, you know what? That's what really defines us sometimes. What we're going to get out of this life. The world is all about that in a minute. What am I going to get now in this life? And you know what? Many a person will miss out on what they could get now in the life to come. Because God is with us. That's the whole point Jesus came. for God to be with us. Amen?
Amen.
As he takes us through our trials, we draw strength and comfort from him, deepening in our relationship with him. Paul had many afflictions for the gospel, but God used them for his glory and the increase of his kingdom. Church, we can do the same. John 15, verses 5 and 8. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. God is glorified when we bear much fruit in our lives for him and his kingdom. And when we make the good of others our primary goal, as Jesus did, we will glorify God. Ensure your conduct is above criticism. My wife's not here today, but maybe she'll catch it on the live stream. But I had to learn that the hard way, church, that it's better to serve than be served. Yeah? My marriage would have got a lot smoother at the beginning if I'd learned that little principle. But I got there through the grace of God. But we can learn now, church, that there's more when we serve than when we are being served. Jesus showed that when he washed the disciples' feet. And he was washing feet that were really dirty. They may have had athlete's foot. They were walking through dung, some of them. Dusty roads. There was no Prius. There was no Uber. You had to walk wherever you went. So your feet had blisters and all sorts on them. And he did that for 12 men. Not himself, not for one, but 12. And the glory is his, because we're always preaching about it every day, aren't we? Amen. Sorry, I've lost my place. Let's go back. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. All our abilities and talents can be used for the glory of God. Invest them and your time where you can make an eternal difference and glorify him. So how can we show God's glory to the world? This is taken from the U version. We need to celebrate it. God's creativity in you and others. That's why I gave that statement that I said to say to one another. You guys are the greatest thing on earth. Yeah? Creation. That this heart beats every day. That I can do multiple thousands and millions of calculations in my head and talk to you all at the same time. God's creation is the greatest thing on earth. Reflect it. Jesus' character and the gifts of the Spirit. We can all do that, church. We all have it in our capacity to do that. But most of all, share it. Use what God has blessed you with to share the gospel and draw people to God and share in and show his glory. You're going to take one of those away, church. Just mull over it. Why is it good to glorify God? Human glory is for itself, trusting in our own achievements and abilities, and is fleeting. That's what I started with that quote right at the beginning. That's from Napoleon Bonaparte. He was a bit of an arrogant man, bold, made mistakes because of it. But even he recognized glory is fleeting. God's glory is eternal and his alone. But he imparts some to us to reflect himself to the world around us. Colossians 3 verse 4. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. God deserves and is truly worthy of all glory. Amen?
Amen.
We've been singing about it, church. Did you read the words that we've sung already? We were singing about it. We have no glory of our own, but in his infinite grace, he shares his glory with us here on earth. And even more so when he returns to make all things new, to reward those who love him and follow all his ways. Let me stress to you, church, that when Jesus comes back and makes things all things new, it's really going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind because we are going to be what they call glorified. Glorification will be completed. We will have bodies like Jesus. Yeah? You'll be in your prime, church. You'll be able to do things you never did before. You're going to be able to know things that you never knew before. But most of all, you're going to be in the presence of the Almighty, glorious God. That's the saving grace that we all want to strive for. The deepest longing of the human heart is to know and enjoy the glory of God. We were made for this. Our purpose in life is to know, delight, and to love God, making him known to others and glorify him by reflecting his character and love. Our greatest joy is to bring joy and glory to our God. So let's reflect his glory as he transforms us into his image. Colossians 1, verse 15 to 16. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. God is worthy of all glory from his creation, as he is the almighty King of kings, the ruler of the universe, who holds complete and ultimate authority and power over all his creation. God does not use his glory to wow us, but to draw us closer to him. He reigns in the heavenly realms, and we can have peace, security, assurance, and encouragement knowing our God reigns. There is none before him, none after him, and none can compare to him. The Exodus story and our deliverance and redemption through salvation in Jesus Christ are beautiful stories of God's grace for his glory. God calls us into his story. Let him enter in and lead you by his great love, grace, and mercy, and allow him to rule in every aspect of your life forevermore. Heaven rejoices when another sinner is saved by his grace, and Jesus is glorified for his saving work in us. It's another defeat for the enemy and another victory for the kingdom. He is a God who wants to help us both in practical and supernatural ways, in the big things and the small. Glorifying him is good for our minds, our souls, and our well-being. And our obedience and devotion to God leads us to glorify him. Amen.
Amen.
My last quote for today from A.W. Tozer. Whatever fascinates you will guide you. So pray that the only thing that fascinates you is God and his marvelous glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So in closing, why should we glorify God? That is what he created us to do. And he made the only way for us to be holy and blameless before God. Through his love, he saved us. Through his suffering, he redeemed us. But most of all, through his power, he makes us anew in his image. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious and mighty God, we thank you every day, each and every day, that the manifest glory of God is here on earth. It has been here on earth since the beginning of time, because all creation reflects your glory. The stars and the unfathomable universe that goes on forever cannot even contain how unfathomable our God's glory is. And his greatest joy was when he created mankind, I should say. When he said, this is good, this is very good. He was looking, he was marveling at his glorious things and saying they are good. But church, we also must marvel at what God has done. We must marvel that the glorious King of kings and the Lord of lords came to earth for us. That when he was dying upon that cross, he was thinking about us. He was wanting us all to have that new life, the new life that can come through him and him alone. Lord Jesus, we pray that we will humble our hearts, that we may see more of your glory emanating from us. For you've given us a portion of yourself to indwell us. We are now the living tabernacle on this earth. And Lord, we pray that your glory is seen in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, in our desires. But most of all, Lord, may we glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.